Genesis chapter number 39, moving our way week by week, right in the middle of the life of Joseph. God is speaking to us this type of Christ Joseph was. He is showing us how to live for God, even in a wicked culture. The theme that we're looking at right now is, and the Lord was with Joseph. Wherever you are tonight, let's say that together. And the Lord was with Joseph. Don't you want that to be the theme of your life? Regardless of where he moves you, regardless of where his providence allows you to be, you want the theme to be, and the Lord was with you, and the Lord was with you. Look at Genesis 39. I like to go back and discuss some of what we talked about last week and spend a little bit more time on it. Certainly don't want to rush through these issues in the Word of God, these nuggets. They'll help us, and they're right where we're living right now. Genesis 39. We picked up last week, if you would, at verse number 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. We picked right up with that in Joseph's life as he dealt with perversion. We read all the way down several verses. I want us to pick up and read a few more verses there as we get to the close to the end of this section in Potiphar's house, but I want us to highlight some things about Joseph's life. Notice, if you would, at verse number 15. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. This is the story that she's telling to these servants. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. Here comes the husband now. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. Listen to what she's saying. Look at what Joseph has to deal with. And yet the Lord was with him. Shall we pray? Father, bless now. I pray, God, that you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thou sayest, the Lord. And I pray that it will be a help to your people. Not just those at Crossroads, but anyone that will tune in. May it be a help. We're all battling these things. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We love you. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. And the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph at Potiphar's house. We saw in this story that Potiphar's house represented a distant place. Egypt wasn't home, but Egypt was where God put him. Wherever you are right now, wherever God has allowed you to be, it may not seem like home for you. It may not be your most comfortable place, but it's where God has allowed you to be. Being away from home, being out of your comfort zone is not an excuse for the presence of God not to be seen in your life. He was dealt property. He was somebody's stuff. He was somebody's slave. He was working a job that he didn't intend to work. He was serving outside of what his normal trade was. And yet the Lord was with him. You working somewhere you didn't intend to work? You doing something you didn't study to do? Are you in a situation that you never dreamed you'd be in? Do you feel like you're somebody's merchandise? Is the Lord with you? Can we see God when you're working a job you don't like working? Divine prosperity showed up. Isn't it amazing? Away from home. His brothers didn't know where he'd end up when they left him in that pit. They didn't know that those Ishmaelites would end up selling him and end up in Egypt. They had no idea where Joseph ended up. They went back and told their daddy he was dead. They left him alone. To them, it was the end of Joseph. They didn't know where he was going to end up. They could not have described where their brother was located. Joseph, when he was in that pit, he didn't know where he was going to end up. But I'm telling you what, his family didn't know. He didn't know, but God knew. And God blessed him where he was. Let me tell you something. You may be where you don't want to be, but it will not stop the blessings of God from coming in your life. Divine prosperity. By the way, I didn't say fame or fortune. See, the world can offer you that. The devil can serve you. I'm talking about divine prosperity. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. You want blessings that come from God. The devil gives blessings too. You don't want those. You want the stuff that comes from God, because when God gives it to you, nobody can take it from you, and there's no need to be embarrassed about it. It was such blessing that Potiphar saw it. It was such favor that Potiphar saw it. Let the people of God be those that the world can see God's blessings on. May others see God blessing you. By the way, if he's with you, he's going to bless you. If he's with you, he's going to bless you. The economy cannot stop the blessing of God. Bad health cannot stop the blessing of God. Deeds of other people that are negative towards you cannot stop the blessing of God if the Lord is with you. Delegated promotion. He got put in charge of everything. This foreigner got put over Potiphar's house. He was trusted. And by the way, he earned the trust. The Lord being with Joseph, God's hand being on Joseph, earned him the favor of his superior. Earned him the favor of even someone that didn't know God. You can have a good name, not just among saved people. And by the way, you ought to have a good name among lost people. They may not agree with you, but they ought to respect you. Potiphar respected Joseph. He didn't even keep track of his own merchandise. He didn't even keep inventory of his own belongings. He only knew what he ate every day. He trusted Joseph with everything. I hope you're a Christian that can be trusted. I hope you've not lost your testimony. I hope you're not more interested in climbing up the social ladder than you are earning a testimony that demonstrates the hand of God being on your life. Last week, we looked at devious perversion. Perversion. Yeah, because my friend, when you meander your way through life, and when you follow the providence of God, even when you're in the center of God's will, that doesn't mean you won't be exposed to stuff that's no good. And here he is, and it came to pass, in charge, trusted by Potiphar. Here comes sin. Corrupt lust, a continuous lure, a combative lead that happened as a result of a convenient location. This married woman pursued him. Watch out. Please watch out. How many times between this Wednesday and last Wednesday did sin knock on your door? Did the devil tempt you? The scripture is very clear. God will never tempt you. God will never try to get you to sin. But the devil is a tempter. We find him doing that way back in the beginning with Eve. Oh, look here. God's holding back on you. You're missing out, Eve. God's not telling you the truth. You go ahead and eat this fruit. Your eyes will be open. You'll see as gods. Let me tell you something. The devil will put things in front of you and make you think it's no big deal. And again, she keeps trying. The Bible says day by day, verse number 10. She didn't just try one time. She kept trying. As a Christian, you're going to learn how to keep saying no, not just no one time, no over and over again. And when he was in the house all by himself, this is when she saw a green light. Be careful. Make no provision for the flesh. Guard yourself. Don't give the devil chances and greater opportunities to get you to fall. Some things you can't avoid, but my friend, you better watch out putting yourselves in compromising positions. Listen to me. David stayed home from war when he should have been at war. Let me tell you something. You ought to be in church when church is going on. By the way, when we tune in on Wednesday night, I know you say, I'm watching live stream. But listen, this is church. This is church. If you wouldn't listen in the building, don't miss no live stream. Why? You give yourself a convenient location for Satan to trap you. And then she laid her hands on him, grabbed him, trying to get him to do something that he shouldn't do. You know, sin has a grip. Satan has a clutch, if you would. He wants to seize you. Don't play with sin. Don't downplay sin. And sometimes the higher up we climb in success, the lower up our resistance to sin goes. Huh? The more God seems to bless us, the less we seem to really be dependent upon him. Are you listening to me? Seems like when we're down and out, we're desperate, then we want to get a hold of God. Now Joseph's in charge. I mean, he's over Potiphar's house. He's trusted with everything. Isn't it amazing how hard some people worked when they wanted to earn trust and how little they work once they get it? Let me tell you something. You ought to do for God like you used to do when you knew you had to. Are you listening to me? You ought to work hard like you used to when you had to. You remember when you were trying to impress the boss? Remember when you were trying to earn your parents' trust? Remember when you were trying to prove to them that you were a good worker? Oh, you showed up early and you left late. Now that you got a little position, you showing up late and leaving early. Let me tell you something. Character should not be contingent upon what you need from somebody. Character should be dependent upon the fact you love God and you believe in what is right. So devious perversion introduced us to Joseph's distinct principles. This is what I want to go over a little bit more tonight before I hit one more point. Distinct principles. We talked about these quickly last week, but I want to review them. I want to ask you if you've really given them some thought. Distinctive principle number one, immediate refusal. Verse 8, he refused. I said last week, you got to say no from the onset. You cannot give sin the impression that you're contemplating. You cannot give people the impression that you're deliberating. You cannot give Satan the impression that his proposition is an option. You've got to come out the gate and say, no, no, I'm not doing it. It's wrong. Don't ask me. Don't invite me. Don't call me. Don't offer it to me. Don't even tell somebody to come check with me. Let me tell you something. People ought to know you're not going to that party. You're not watching that thing. You're not listening to that joke. You're not entertaining that gossip. You're not going to help build up their discord. You're not going to be an earpiece for their disgruntled spirit. You've got to put the stop sign up clearly. That's what principles are, distinct principles. They stand out. Shouldn't it be known of you? Uh-uh. Don't try that with him. Don't try that with them. Immediate refusal. I said last week, the longer you take to say no, the harder it is to say no. The less you say no, the more people try to get you to say yes. Immediate refusal. Identified responsibility. My master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He committed all that he hath to my hand. He's trusted me. I hear Paul saying that God entrusted into him the gospel. We were allowed to be put in trust with the gospel. I think as a pastor, God has trusted me with the leadership of Crossroads Baptist Church. As a man, God has trusted me with a wife. He has trusted me with children. He has trusted me with the spiritual livelihood of people that I invest in. He has entrusted in my care young men to father. He has entrusted in my care other people to befriend. Am I willing to throw away that trust to mock and to make light of the trust that has been placed in me by sinning? God, help us as believers to recognize the responsibility that God has placed in us. We're not just anybody. We are the children of God. We represent God. God has placed his Holy Spirit in us. He has entrusted in us earthen vessels. We are trash, carrying treasure, the wonderful Holy Ghost of God living inside of us. Should I really risk all of that for a few moments of sin? Internal reverence. Every time I get to that point, I want to say internal revenue, internal revenue. God knows we don't want to bring that up. Internal reverence. What do you mean? Fear of God on the inside. On the inside. You are what you're on the inside. You are what you're on the inside. Why is it that Christian people keep falling to devious perversion? I tell you why. They don't have distinct principles. They don't have the fear of God. The fear of God is to hate evil and pride and arrogancy. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Do you fear God? Do you fear God enough to say no when nobody's looking? Do you fear God enough to say no to stuff that no one would find out about? Do you fear God enough to tell people, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I can't go there. I can't act like that. It's not an option. Why? I cannot sin against God. And then that intentional resilience. I got to keep at it. Keep at it. By the way, if the devil's resilient, if you're going to beat him, you got to be resilient. He can't keep getting you every day and you only want to say no to him once a week. Listen to me. If the devil's hitting you every day, do you think it's only enough to deal with him on Sundays and Wednesdays? If the devil shows up at your house every single day, don't you think you need to show up with God every single day? The problem is he's working 365 days a year, and some Christians are only working half of that. You're going to fall if you don't meet the conflict as much as the devil meets you trying to defeat you. You've got to be resilient. God, give us Christians in these last days that are resilient. They don't quit. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. I know we're living in tough times, and may God help us. There are too many that have just thrown up their hands and they've gone, I can't fight anymore. I don't want to deal with this anymore. This is too hard. The devil is too challenging. Sin is too... Let me tell you something. If the Lord is with you, you get up tomorrow and do what you did today. No devil, no sin, no flesh. And an imperative retreat. Get out of there. Get out of there. Stop playing, stop talking, stop delaying, stop procrastinating, stop explaining, stop setting up meetings with the devil and discussing why you don't think you need to be around him. Stop trying to convince evil that it needs to be right. No, no, no. Depart from evil and do good. Flee fornication and youthful lust. Get out of there. Get out of that relationship. Get out of that situation. Get out of that job. Get out of that scene. Anything that you should not be involved in, get out of there. Get out of there. May God help us. imperative retreat. Tonight, I want to give you one more thought. It's what I call defaming prevarication. Defaming prevarication. You say, Pastor, that's a big word. What does prevarication mean? It is false or deliberate misstatement, oftentimes in a sneaky way. It's another word for lying with somebody. Prevarication. And we're calling it defaming prevarication because I want you to see what the devil's agenda is in the life of Joseph right now. He is going to take the name of a good man and smear it. He's going to use Potiphar's wife to do it. Notice what the Bible says. She calls unto the men in the house, verse 14, and spake unto them, see, he hath wrought in Hebrew unto us to mock us. You hear that? Look what she's telling the servants. And by the way, go back to verse number 13, because I think this is good to highlight. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men. Do you see that? When she saw that he had left his garment, when she saw that he rejected her, when she saw that he said no, when she saw that he wasn't going to listen, I call this rejected acknowledgement. You hear me now? Once she noticed he's not in on my perversion, I'm going to destroy him. What's the devil? The bell dings in the devil's corner when you say no. He goes, oh, you one of them. You hear me now? You one of them Christians in 2020 that has decided that you're going to live right. You one of them young people in a world of perversion that's decided you're going to stay pure. You one of them men that has decided you're not going to be caught in a situation with a lady where you don't belong in. You're not going to be clicking on the wrong stuff. And you're not going to be out at lunch with somebody that you shouldn't be at lunch with. And you're not going to be entertaining somebody on Facebook that you have no entertainment with. You one of those that lets people know, I'm married. Don't you even come at me like that. And the moment you start letting the devil or his agents of sin know that you're not going to do their bidding, all of a sudden, they start trying to destroy you. The nerve, she must think. The nerve of you to reject me. So immediately, since she can't get what she wants, she's going to go call these servants in. And here's what I call, she makes a resentful act. She called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, see, he hath wrought it in Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Are you listening to this lady? Do you listen? Are you listening? She's writing a whole drama story. She is producing a movie. She is creating a fiction book. Watch this now. Listen what he did. This Hebrew has come in to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me. You saw the story, verse number 7. The Bible says very clear. She cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, lie with me. The devil is a liar, John 8, and he's the father of lies. He's a murderer and he hath been that from the beginning. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, Pastor, what am I supposed to do when people make up lies on me? You're not the first person that's been lied on. Here's the key. Make sure that the Lord has been with you and that you've demonstrated distinct principles so you give God a reason when prevarication comes your way to stand up on your behalf. The problem with a lot of Christians is they want God to come in and vouch for them even though what is being said about them is true. God help us. A resentful act and a ridiculous allegation. Notice what she said. He tried to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Verse 14. Verse 15. Came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. Are you listening to what she said? He tried to lie with me, and when he heard me scream, he left his garment and got out of here and ran because he knew that I was screaming. Go back and read the story. That's not what happened. The Bible says, verse number 11, came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And by the way, his business was not with her. His business was what his master had told him to do. Please listen. you make sure you don't get caught up doing the wrong business when you should be about your father's business, about your master's business. Hey, listen to me. You remember, God put you on that job not to go there and just do the devil's business. He put you on that job so that you can make the proper revenue, so that you can sustain your life and be the Christian that God has allowed you to be. God didn't send you to that school to get caught up in that foolishness and to listen to the wrong kind of music and to hang around the wrong people and to meet the wrong friends. God sent you to that school to get an education so that you can use your brain and that education to be a better Christian and reach more people. I'm telling you, my friend, many of us have been sent to the job to do God's business, and we've gotten into the devil's business. You heard the story. The Bible says she caught him by his garment, verse 12, said, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled. Did you read that verse number 12? She caught him saying, "Lie with me." He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Look at verse 15, how she tells it. "And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out." She lied. She grabbed him. He got out. Her story is, he wanted to lie with me. I screamed and he got out. You better, listen, you better be ready if you're living for God to be lied on. And it's one of the most difficult things to have to deal with. When you know that people have an agenda to destroy you. I guarantee I'm looking at someone right now. You are the object of a smear campaign. There are people that, because you've done right, because you've said no, because you walk with God, because you live by principles, they're going to find people around you and run you down. What do I do? What do I do? I tell you what you can't do. You can't find everybody they lied to and go correct the story. Good luck. You'll never find them all. You'll spend the rest of your life trying to put out fires that only get started back up again. And there'll be a bunch of fires you never got a chance to put out because you didn't even know they got started. I know Christians that spend all their time trying to run around to defend themselves. How dare you? I know you've been talking about me. I know people have been telling you stuff about me. I know I've been like, let me tell you something. You let your character speak for itself. Nothing, my friend, will speak louder on the microphone than bona fide, authentic, genuine character. The problem is when your character cannot stand for itself, you've got to try to get your mouth to do it. And Christian people that have to run around tooting their own horns is because they don't have a horn that will toot itself. Let me tell you something. Character doesn't need your help. Integrity doesn't need your voice. Walking with God does not need your microphone. Oh yeah, she's lying. Oh yeah, those servants are hearing it. Oh yeah, eventually she's going to tell it to her husband. I'm telling you, my friend, but God is with you. Somebody right now today is dealing with someone in your life that is taking advantage of the fact that you're doing right. And know what you're thinking. I climbed up the ladder. I got here by hard work. And here comes somebody in here making up some lie and fabricating something that didn't happen and making up stuff, and they're spreading it and I'm hearing about it and rumors are going on about me. Let me tell you something. If you walk with God, if you've lived for God, I don't care what they make you think you've lost. I don't care how many people they make you think they got to believe that lie. I don't care how many fabricate. I don't care how convincing their story is. When you live by distinct principles, you do it for one reason. The Lord is with you and he will always vindicate his servant. Stick with it. Stick with it. Even in the midst of prevarication. Wow. Defaming. The Lord was with him. Wherever you are tonight, keep doing right. Keep honoring God. Live by distinct principle. There will be some time where the devil will dangle in front of you nonsense. Let the Lord shine through you. And he'll get mad when you say no. Try to destroy your character. He can't destroy real character because God fights those battles when he's with you. Father, thank you. We love you. We pray that we as believers would live in a way that shows our character speaks for itself. I pray for somebody who's being challenged today. about upping his character, upping her character. May the Lord that lives inside of that individual ignite a real commitment to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.